is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Balloons in the news. Balloons. The Secretary of State canceling his expected trip to the People's Republic of China in response to the discovery of a balloon that looks very much like a spy opportunity. But at the same time, the Foreign Ministry of People's Republic of China is saying it's a weather balloon, blew off course. November 3rd, 1944, Japan released Fusan Bakudan, or balloon bombs, into the Pacific jet stream. They each carried four small bombs and one 30-pound high-explosive bomb. Japan's latest weapon, the balloon bombs, were meant to cause damage and spread panic in the United States. The Japanese decided to make use of balloon bombs in retaliation for the Doolittle raid. I welcome Henry Sikorski, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, to apprise us what we know now about the People's Republic of China balloons. However, they're no more accidental than were the Fusan Bakudan in 1944. What do they mean? Henry, a very good evening to you. You've given me some understanding that the balloon that has been discovered, perhaps by a commercial traveler, perhaps by people on the ground in Montana, that this is not the first time nor the only balloon. Is that correct, Henry? Good evening to you.
Good evening. No, it's not the first time, apparently. There's a terrific article in something called The War Zone called China's Spy Balloon Over Montana is part of a larger, more troubling pattern. I recommend it. What this article explains with videos is that Guam and Hawaii have seen these balloons during the Trump administration, that there have been overflights of the continental U.S. previously at the beginning of the Biden administration. And this is the latest of those events. There's even an update, could be incorrect, that there's a second balloon aloft as we speak over Canada. We'll have to wait and see if that's true. But obviously, this is not a one-off. It's a pattern.
The pattern speaks to the People's Republic of China looking for what? What can you do with a balloon, Henry, that you can't do with a satellite?
Well, that's an interesting question. The administration, and I have to say, many of the critics who I'm friendly with, who I called, who are space experts, they all kind of said, well, you know, you can get all you need from space. You don't need a balloon. I suspect at some level that's got to be true. But if you talk to balloon experts who are advocates of balloons for spying, they have quite a brief as well. And it's quite entertaining to listen to them because it's not what you're getting from the news or the administration or our military. What they say is, no, a balloon has certain advantages over a satellite in that it can loiter longer over the target to receive or pick up electronic transmissions or to take pictures. And of course, being closer to the subject matter, they have a wider area, but more important, higher resolution opportunities to take pictures. Now, whether you need that resolution compared to satellites, I suppose is a debating point. But the idea that there are no practical advantages to these things for spying, I think ought to be opened up as a kind of a question rather than, oh, well, it's obvious they don't. After all, the Chinese seem to be very attracted to these, and it isn't just them. We have a balloon program to do just the same thing. Now, I don't know that we've gotten so far as to deploy ours in a big way, but clearly this is not just some kind of circus stunt. There's something to it.
We're told that the first instinct of the Biden administration or first opinion was to shoot it down. That did not happen. Are we capable of shooting it down? Do we have missiles that take down balloons that high?
I think the short answer is sure. It's a standoff weapon. It's interesting to note that they fly as high as 80,000 feet, according to these articles I've been reading. That is pretty high. To give you some idea, the aircraft ceiling that is cited publicly, I don't know if it's true, is 60,000 feet for our F-35. That's our latest stealth fighter. And they were employed along with refueling tankers from Salt Lake City area. And they were trying to engage to learn more about the large payload that this balloon carried, which once was described as being three bus, you know, the equivalent of three buses, school buses. You know, that's a lot of payload, and they wanted to probably learn more. Certainly that would help explain why you wouldn't shoot it down at least as much as that, you know, someone would get hurt in Montana.
Momentarily, we're distracted from the war in Ukraine with this as yet to be explained event involving the People's Republic of China, the word spying, the explanation of weather balloon, and the cancellation of a very important trip by Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, to meet with Xi Jinping following the turmoil of COVID zero and the shutdown, and most recently the threats, the repeated threats by the People's Republic of China against Taiwan and other parts of the neighborhood. However, we race to Ukraine because since we last spoke, Henry, Moscow has made it clear that the offensive that they've rumored these many months either is underway or is imminent. Ukraine has said much the same thing. So has NATO. And my reading of the map and its fog of war is that Zaporizhia is right in the combat zone. There have also been reports these last days. I can't tell anymore whether it's genuine, real, or false, that there are more explosions around Zaporizhia. Does it remain as vulnerable as ever, Henry?
Oh, well, I'll just say yes. I mean, I'm not exactly on the ground, but it doesn't sound good. And, you know, it could get worse. However, we now know a little bit more about Putin's premeditated plan to attack the electrical and nuclear power plant system prior to the war. And he did actually have plans that he's executing. You got to hope that the plans go to the edge, but not over. And the problem is mistakes generally are made with any large organization, including military. So we have to be on edge.
The report says that Moscow is looking to overrun Ukraine quickly and leverage the nuclear power plants. What does that mean?
Well, I think, first of all, he clearly wants that largest of the nuclear plants in Europe to be working to supply the Russian-controlled areas and maybe even parts of Russia. I mean, there's a lot of grid work you have to do. You can't just plug and play on that. But in addition, I think he wanted to have the threat of knocking out the electrical system as a lever to get submission to his rule over Ukraine. And he's now playing that out, plain and simple.
In other words, the capture of the nuclear power plants would have given the Russian forces an answer to any counterattack launched by NATO. Once you have the nuclear power plants, you can turn the lights on and off. You can hold a population hostage. And you also have the threat of damaging the plant in some fashion. Is all that possible, Henry?
I think that may be a bit of a stretch. I mean, there is an awful lot of the electrical system that's non-nuclear, but that is also what Putin wanted to target and has targeted.
And the thinking in Washington, as Washington learns from this war, the new kind of war, does it learn from the Zaporizhia incident as far as we can tell?
I just spoke with someone who knows a fair amount about our dealings with South Korea on a military level, and he reassured me that we do not talk to South Korea about possibly being hit by North Korean missiles on their electrical system or their nuclear power plants because we are averse to talking about civil defense. That's a sovereign, sensitive topic, he explained. So I think we still are climbing the learning curve as to what the next Zaporizhia might be and whether or not the example of Mr. Putin is going to be copied by other adversaries.
I'm John Batchelor.